About the teaching material, the work of Peter. Now we're going to the point A, go with the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Before Jesus' ascension, he commanded his disciples to preach the gospel. And before the disciples really went out to preach the gospel, and Jesus asked them, you shall receive Holy Spirit, and you shall be empowered by the Holy Spirit. This is the first step. And the second step, then you start to go out to preach the gospel. So this is a very important principle. Especially the TJC. If we want to do the evangelical work, there is no other secret. First, receive Holy Spirit. The second, pray until we are filled by the Holy Spirit, filled by the power of God, then we will go out to preach the gospel. If we lack the fullness of the Holy Spirit, if we lack the guidance of the Holy Spirit, a lot of times, even we work very hard, but we find out our work will be fruitless. You put a lot of effort, but no outcome. Because we human beings, we ourselves cannot do anything, cannot convert even one person. So Jesus Christ, even though he ascended to heaven, but he descended. The Holy Spirit, give us Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit is God Himself. So Jesus Christ today is still working. Working in what way? Working through the Holy Spirit. So the whole book of Acts actually is the act of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit working mightily. Holy Spirit guides the apostle to preach. Holy Spirit empowers the apostle to preach. If we take away the Holy Spirit, then there will be no book of Acts. If we take away Holy Spirit, then there will be no true Jesus Church. So in the early days, true Jesus Church had been spreading very fast. Of course, in that generation, the society are very simple. Because most of people's lives are in a very difficult situation. That's one of the reasons why the gospel can spread very fast. But the fundamental reason is because in the early stage, all the workers, including the members, they were all filled by the Holy Spirit. You know, nowadays, if we look into the way we conduct service, right? In your local church, 60 minutes of service, including Friday evening, Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon. 60 minutes of service. How many minutes do we pray? In your local church, 60 minutes of service. How many minutes do we pray? Usually beginning pray for 5 minutes, right? The end, we pray. Some of churches, they pray 15 minutes. But most of churches, they pray 5 to 10 minutes. Right? So you add up, you only pray about 10 minutes. But if we compare with the early church, the worker are not familiar with the Bible. So they don't have too much message to share. So a lot of service actually being conducted by reading the Bible. And after read the Bible, and then they pray. 1 hour service, they may read the Bible for 20 minutes, and another 20, 30 minutes in prayer. So because they dedicate a lot of time in prayer, so the church was filled by the Holy Spirit. That was the key reason why the early church can spread so fast. So today is the same. Even not we talk about not talking about early church. We talk about 1980s or the early 1990s. I still recall some of the youth, or not adult, or some of youth, they come to the church and they pray for 30 minutes, some of them pray for 1 hour. I still can recall, I still can remember the name of those youth. Probably you know some of the youth of them. And one of the mother testified when he was the clothes of his, when she washed the clothes of her son. She was so touched. Why? Because her son, the pain, the knee area is broken. Now, not looking to your knee. Anybody, your knee area broken, raise your hand. Probably some, your knee is broken because purposely you purchase that kind of clothes. That kind of fashion. But the mother was touched by the son, always pray. When he finished the school, go back home, always pray. I still can remember this youth. Come to the church, always pray. Not only one. I can name at least 5 to 10 people. They like to pray. But right now, this kind of spirit of prayer gradually disappears from church. Certainly, if we see some of you come to the church and pray, we are so joyful, do you know? But on the other hand, we feel a little bit sympathy. Why? Because usually they don't come to the church to pray. And today they come to the church to pray. Must have some problem, right? So if a youth has no problem and they already used to come to the church to pray and pray for a long time, we can see this youth is really longing for Jesus Christ, really try to pursue for spiritual transformation. And we need to rebuild this kind of culture, the culture of prayer in the church. It's difficult. Because right now, you can see a generation, right? Sometimes I talk with the age of 40s. They say, this generation, I cannot understand. And when I talk with the age of 30s, say, this generation, I cannot understand either. I talk with the 20, day 20, they say, this generation, I still cannot understand. I don't know what the generation it is. But it's very obvious after the internet become popular, that's a new generation. Then after the smartphone become popular too, that's another generation. So a lot of people, you look, not every minute, at least few minutes, look at their smartphone once. Before they sleep, they look at smartphone. In the middle of the night, they wake up, and then sleep. Right after they get up, and they start to look in the smartphone. So smartphone have been attracting so many people's heart. And yes, it's good. It provides a lot of convenience, right? But also it's very bad. It's dragging our heart down to the earth. It disrupts our relation with God. So we should control it and not be controlled by smartphone. So build up a spirit of prayer is very, very important. If you look into the church, the Holy Word very prosperous. Usually, you can see two reasons. The first reason, a lot of people pray and really put effort into prayer. The second reason, I'm not saying 100%, the second reason, you look into the church, a lot of members are very average.
When we consider members are very outstanding in the society, it's good, right? It's the blessing of God. But I always see the church become more prosperous. Always the members are very average. And I keep on pondering why doing so. The members are more outstanding in the society, are supposed to have more talent and supposed to be more capable to make the church grow. But it's just the result is just opposite. Then I come to a conclusion. When the member is very average, right? They have nothing to rely on. I don't have no eloquency. I don't have no power. I'm so average people. I belong average. So what can I do? The only thing I can do is what? Pray. Right? I'll pray. Everybody pray. When everybody pray, and God start to work, and the church grow. So it's very important now. We have to build up a church of prayer if we want to revigorize our evangelical service. If we cannot revive the spirit of prayer, there's no way we can revive the evangelical work. No way we can revive evangelical work. Unless we can revive the spirit of prayer. So remember, when we go out to our local church, before we give a lot of suggestion, use the action. You go back to local church and start to pray. We go back to the local church and we ourselves start to do the evangelical work, personal evangelism, or start to take initiative to approach the truth seeker and talk with them, to follow up them. Yeah, that was the best. Because some of the members, they used to give a lot of suggestion. Right? And after give a lot of suggestion, we did not see them pray. We did not see them bring the truth seeker. We did not see them help the church to follow up. And give a lot of suggestion, actually no use. Yeah. We need the people who are motivated and take action. Yeah. Right? Bible already give a very clear guidance how to develop the evangelical work. So when we go to preach the gospel, go with the Holy Spirit. We have to be filled by the Holy Spirit. So Acts chapter 2, verse 3, chapter 4, verse 31, all talk about filled by the Holy Spirit. Now, I always ask a question. Now, maybe you have heard so many times already, right? How long should we pray, David? How long should we pray? 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes? How long should we pray? 2 hours? Oh, you are very godly. How long should we pray? Biblical speaking, you cannot find time there. 15 minutes, can you quote Bible? The only example you can quote Bible is Jesus prayed for all night. Can you do it? You cannot do it, right? But Bible did give us a goal. What is the goal? To be filled by the Holy Spirit. So if the book of Ephesians, right? Do not get drunk. Drunk will lead into debauchery, but be filled by the Holy Spirit. Right? So Bible compare Holy Spirit together with wine. Why people drink wine? Because they are troubled. They have some kind of sorrow. They have some kind of emptiness. So use the alcohol to temporarily release them. But first, you want to drink alcohol, you have to spend money, right? The second, when you temporarily release yourself, you get drunk, you cannot do anything, right? You cannot drive. The third, after you wake up, the problem is the same. The heart is more empty. The sorrow even more sorrowful. Why? Because you spend a lot of money, get drunk, and you did not do your homework. All right. But you have to be filled by the Holy Spirit. When you are filled by the Holy Spirit, first one, your heart is sober. The second, your sorrow been reminded. The third, you can continue to do your homework. All right. So it's, you lose nothing, you gain everything. Right. So,
We have to pray until we feel by the Holy Spirit. That is a goal. Then how long does it take to pray until we feel by the Holy Spirit? How long? All depends on how often you pray, right? If we don't pray from Sunday to Friday, we pray only Saturday, then if we want to be filled by the Holy Spirit, I bet you have to come to the church at 9 a.m. Right? Start to pray until the time start to have a morning service, right? Or lunchtime, fast and pray. It takes long, long time because you only pray real prayer, which only once a week. But if we really pray every day, and then it probably takes 30 minutes. No, it takes time to be filled by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because when we are studying, when we are engaged in the business in the world, our mind is connected in the world. But when we want to pray to be filled by the Holy Spirit, our mind has to come down. And we have to bring our mind back into our heart. Right? And our mind can really focus on God Himself. It takes time. It takes time. Oh. So, the first thing, we prepare ourselves to do the evangelical work, we to live a life of prayer, and pray until we are filled by the Holy Spirit. And sometimes, when we are filled by the Holy Spirit, we know ourselves. Our voice will raise up, and our body will shake heavily, and after prayer, we feel so relaxed, we feel so peaceful, right? We know it. And sometimes, even though we not pray aloud, even the body not vibrate heavily, but we still can feel we are filled by the Holy Spirit, because we are filled with joy, with the peace, and with the power inside. Whatever, we have to be filled by the Holy Spirit. This is a must, and this is the prerequisite to do the evangelical work. There are several reasons. The first reason, when we are filled by the Holy Spirit, we can go with the authority of God. And this authority, yesterday we mentioned, when we talk, the words of God will be like a sword. And that the two-edged sword can pierce into the human being's heart. You know, in Acts chapter 2, who was the audience of Peter's preaching? Who? The people in Jerusalem. The people in Jerusalem, 40 days ago, they crucified Jesus, right? They are shouting before the Pilate, crucify him, crucify him. A lot of them, their hand has the blood of Jesus Christ. But 40 days later, and Peter preaching, the message is very clear. The one you crucify has resurrected. The one you crucify is the Savior. Is the Messiah. And this message points hope to them. You have to believe in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. The message also points to them, you are the one who killed the innocent. And this message is difficult to swallow. It's difficult to accept. And how come when Peter preached, 3,000 people were all repented? Because the words of God pierced into their heart. Like a two-edged sword. So today, how can we transform people's heart? It's so difficult, right? Even your parents say something you don't like to listen, right? Even though you are not moving out, but you still close the door, you don't want to listen, right? But when we preach to other people, they are waiting to listen, they will be touched, they want to change, they want to repent. It's not so easy unless there's a power of the Holy Spirit. So we have to pray. We go with the authority of God. Number two, the power of performing miracles. Miracle including cast out the demon. A few years ago in Irvine Church, there was a Filipino truth seeker, came from San Diego. And she was possessed by Satan. And in that spiritual convocation, that was the occasion to battle with
the evil spirit. In the Sabbath day, almost the whole church fast and pray. Now, and eventually, the evil spirit was casting out. And that Filipino truth seeker was baptized. Right now, she is in Japan. Now, so this is the true story. How can the church cast out the demon if the church has no power? And where comes the power? The power comes from Holy Spirit. So, TJC, we are the body of Christ. We need to let people experience the power of God. You know, the woman who issued blood for 12 years, she used all her money. She has been visiting all the physicians in her time. So she has no way out from her issuing blood. No money, no physician. Then what? She was waiting to die. But it happened. Jesus passing by that village. That was her last hope. So she walked slowly approaching Jesus. But Jesus was so famous, was surrounded by so many people, and she had to squeeze through the multitude. She had to use all her effort to approach Jesus. And she had to stretch out the hand, the last bit of strength. When she touched the garment of Jesus, in that right moment, the 12 years issuing blood was stopped. And Jesus turned the head. Who touched me? And everybody said, nobody touched you, right? Because so many people squeezing around just like you're boarding an airplane, right? Who touched you? But Jesus said, no, I feel I have a power issue from my body. Jesus Christ has power. Even his garment has power. Why? Because Jesus was filled by the Holy Spirit. So today, we have to understand I am nothing, right? If we feel we are somebody, we cannot be used by God. If we feel I am nobody, we can be used by God. And how come nobody can do something of God? It's because the power of the Holy Spirit is abiding us. So we can do it. So the power of to perform miracle is coming from the fullness of the Holy Spirit. The third one is boldness. When we are filled by the Holy Spirit, we will be very bold. If we look into the transformation of Peter, right? In the prayer of Gethsemane, Jesus said, told Peter, which read yesterday, you will deny me. Peter said, no, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to die with you. It sounds Peter was very brave, right? He want to follow Jesus, he want to die with Jesus, because he felt he was so brave, so determined. So in the time of prayer, he did not feel the need. I want to die for him. I have a resolution to die for him. I'm determined to die for him. But the time he prayer, he fall asleep because he don't feel needs. But when people start to arrest Jesus, and Peter was lagging behind, right? But Peter still remind himself, I say I want to die for Jesus. I cannot run away, right? So Peter just followed Jesus very far away. And when Jesus was bring into the house, Peter just closed the gate. And people recognize him. Hey, you are the follower of Jesus Christ. And Peter said, no, I don't know him. How come he was so timid? Because he lacked spiritual power. But in the day of Pentecost, after he received Holy Spirit, he was so bold, he was able to stand up and preach, witness for Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ was crucified 40 days ago. Right? Those who crucified Jesus still looking for his follower to persecute. But Peter was so bold, opened the door and stand out without counting any consequence. That because he was filled by the Holy Spirit. I know a lot of people are very timid preaching the gospel, right? How do I know? Including me before, right? You know, some of the churches, they mobilize the youth to go to the supermarket to distribute the flyer. I don't know whether you had this kind of experience. You distribute the flyer, you avoid eye contact. Please come to our church. Or just put into the windshield and run away. Seems we are like a thief. Right. But when we are filled by the Holy Spirit, we will be very bold. Look at that person. Right. And we have the eye contact and invite with confidence. Right. Please come to us. And follow the gospel, good news, to be blessed. Right. Boldness. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are very bold. Just like go to Africa to preach. If we are filled by the Holy Spirit, you know, God abides in us, we have that kind of boldness to go to Africa. Otherwise, if we want to count the risk, there's everything you can count about. Robbery is waiting there. All right? Malaria is waiting there. I personally get malaria several times. When malaria comes, it's the first feeling, hey, how come evil spirit come to me? I keep on examining, I don't sin. How come the evil spirit come to me, right? You have that kind of feeling just like an evil spirit possess you. And later on you start to feel, fever develop. Then all of a sudden you find out malaria is coming. All right? And quite often the diarrhea, and then false brother, and this is countless of risk. But thank God I'm still alive. Why? Because God's grace. So, if we are filled by the Holy Spirit, to be a volunteer of Africa, you can go. Because we believe that if your time is not ripe yet, you will not die. That's what we believe, right? If time is not ripe yet, it's a car accident, no matter how serious it is, or all the car being wrecked, you will not die. Even the airplane fall down from heaven, right? You will not die. Because your time is not ripe. Our life is in the hand of God. So boldness comes from the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So when we are filled by the Holy Spirit, it's so many benefits spiritually to us. The next one is freedom. Acts chapter 12 talk about Peter was imprisoned. Peter was imprisoned. You look into Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, Peter was arrested, right, and put into the jail, and he was chained. And then two soldiers sleep beside him. So he was in the middle. Now, Peter was chained, and Peter was a very important worker in that generation, in that time. And what did the church do? The church prayed so hard for Peter. Then Satan worked so hard to confine Peter in jail, and church prayed so hard for Peter. So there was a spiritual struggle between the power of God and the power of Satan. And all of a sudden, what happened? There was an angel come, and then take out all the chain and open the gate and bring Peter out. He was released from the jail. So prayer is so powerful, can release a worker. That worker get freedom. So what does that mean? We have been bounded by so many things in the world. That is the reason a lot of time we cannot really serve God freely. So if we are filled by the Holy Spirit, you will release ourselves from that kind of bondage. TV cannot bond me anymore. Internet cannot bond me anymore. A smartphone cannot bond me anymore.
All right. When we are free, we are able to have more time to serve God. So, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, our life will be able to live a more simple life. Once our life becomes more simple, it's easier for us to concentrate in God's work. So, we are filled by the Holy Spirit, we have the authority of God. At the same time, we always have to pray for the worker of God in the church. Because there are so many things try to confine the worker of God. Some family issue or some health issue or many, many different kind of issues were able to hinder a worker of God to work effectively for the church. Also, in the 2 Corinthians, Paul say, please pray for me. Support me with your prayer. So this is the first. Second reason, authority of God. The third, we have to go with the Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit will guide us according to God's will. In the book of Acts, at least there are four times of breakthrough. At least there are four times of breakthrough. And all the breakthroughs are not planned by the worker of God. All the breakthroughs are did by Holy Spirit. We are not saying planning is no good. If you read the later part of Acts, yes, they do have planning. But in the beginning of Acts, you cannot see what did they plan. They just pray, filled by the Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit guide them. To develop a path of evangelical work. The first breakthrough, number one, breakthrough the Judaism. If we read the sermon in the Acts chapter 2, the audience of the sermon, Acts chapter 2, the audience of the sermon, who are them? Can you read Acts chapter 2? Who are the audience of the sermon? Acts chapter 2. You will read the verse 5, right? There are Jews come from everywhere, come back to Jerusalem. Verse 9, 2. So the audience is Jews who come from everywhere. And then, the Jews between the Old Testament, they believe in keeping Mosaic law. So that is Judaism. And Judaism is so powerful. Judaism have been guiding their faith for thousands of years. It's just like Chinese or Oriental. They like to worship ancestor. It's so powerful, that kind of culture, so powerful. How can you break that kind of culture? But when Peter was filled by the Holy Spirit, he stood up and preached. 3,000 people received baptism. All of a sudden, Christianity has been established. Who planned it? Nobody planned it. What? Then nobody planned it. How come it's happened? It's because of the Holy Spirit. So the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the Judaism, they were able to break through the culture of Judaism. It comes from guidance of the Holy Spirit. The second one, break through the racial barrier. When we read the book of Acts chapter 1 until Acts chapter 9, all the Christians were Jews, right? Acts chapter 1 to Acts chapter 9. 5,000, 3,000 people baptized, and later 5,000, all were Jews. Not until Acts chapter 10, right?
When Peter was preaching, or was praying, he saw a vision. Vision about what? A piece of cloud descend from heaven. And there was an unclean animal. And boys told him, you have to kill it. You can eat that. And then Cornelius was praying. And during the time of praying, Cornelius saw a vision. Right? And the angel asked him to invite Peter to come because he has a word to make you and your whole family to be saved. So these two visions, put it together, it is the guidance of Holy Spirit. Try to save Cornelius' whole family. So this is a racial breakthrough. And racial breakthrough come from where? Not come from anybody's planning. It come from guidance of the Holy Spirit. So we know nowadays some of the people commented, right? TJC seems all oriental. First, this statement is not true. How come it's not true? If you go to India, all the TJC members is Indian. If you go to Philippines, right? All the TJC members is Filipino. If you go to Korea, right? All the TJC is Korean. If you go to Africa, except South Africa, 100%, all the members are African. No exception. So actually, we have been covering many ethnic group already. But how can we have more breakthrough and preach the gospel to different ethnic groups? Still, one key thing is Holy Spirit. If we pray good enough, Holy Spirit will guide us to meet the right people at the right place at the right time. Right? And you can have breakthrough. You know when? How can our gospel preach to Africa? It's all because of guidance of the Holy Spirit. 1979, there was a pastor from Nigeria came to New York for a conference. It happened one of our deacons also joined that conference. Because this occasion, they met, and that pastor invited our deacon to go to Nigeria to preach. And that was the breakthrough of the ministry in Africa. And how come the gospel has been preached to Ghana and Liberia, right? It's because our worker went to Africa, went to Nigeria in 1981. They tried to help them to build up an agriculture system. So to help them, they can self-support financially. But it happened the second week, they were robbed. By whom? By police. So they were unable to stay there anymore. And on the way back to the United States, they stopped by Liberia. And then, in the airport of Liberia, they brought with them 2 bucks of the flyer. They thought, these 2 bucks of flyer bring back to the United States. Doesn't make sense, right? So that's 3 hours waiting the plane in Liberia airport. They just distribute all the flyer to the people. No. About 2-3 months later, an IA received a letter say, we are looking for a true church. We read your pamphlet. We like your doctrine. So we already changed our name into True Jesus Church. It's too good to be true, right? So the GA keep on communicating with them. We just quote whatever Peter say in Acts chapter 4, right? Silver and gold we don't have. That we have whatever is the gospel of salvation. After 6 months of correspondence, I really make sure they really want to accept the gospel. So send the preacher to Liberia. As soon as they landed, they find out a big band of the girls and say, True Jesus Church. They are beating the drum, ding dong dong, and welcome our worker. And then we went into the chapel and pray. And they, a lot of them received Holy Spirit. And that was a breakthrough of Liberia. Who planned for it? Nobody planned for it. It by accident. Oh, coincidence happened. Why? Because Holy Spirit is guiding.
Oh.
And then our preacher one day tried to fly from Nigeria to Liberia to help the church. And there was a businessman just sit beside him. So he just started to preach with that preacher, with that businessman. And that businessman was very touched. After landed, he did not go for his business, just follow our worker for spiritual convocation and receive Holy Spirit. And it happened that businessman doing business in Ghana. So later on, he bring the gospel back into Ghana to his business partner. So that was the reason the gospel preached to Ghana. Who planned for it? Nobody planned for it. And how come gospel preached to Ghana? Because the guidance of Holy Spirit. So we know Holy Spirit will guide a way to break through the evangelical work. If we really pray hard, if we really take action and go out to preach, God will guide us. So the first thing we have to go is go with Holy Spirit. It's so important. It will guide us to break through all the difficulties. So through Jesus Church, most precious thing is Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit really can work mightily, can really guide us. So when we go back to your local church, go back to your campus fellowship, please promote prayer. Pray until everybody filled by the Holy Spirit, and you are going to see our evangelical work will be growing. Why? Because God is working. So in the book of Isaiah, I talk about there is a powerful river. It will flow over a piece of land. And when the powerful river flow over the piece of land, everything will be what? Alive. First thing. The second, the fish is coming. And that powerful river is Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit flow powerfully through the church, everybody's spiritual life will be alive. Do you know sometimes that even the Sabbath early morning and service, we can see a lot of people feel so sleepy. But in the lunchtime, they talk so loud. And then after lunch, in the afternoon service, still feel very sleepy. And then afternoon, they play the basketball, right? So energetically. And how come they feel so lifeless during the time of service? We always find out one reason. Prayer is very weak. If a church prayer is very powerful, everybody filled by the Holy Spirit, when you stand in the pulpit, you can see there is a spiritual response there. Because Holy Spirit opened your heart, they listen to the gospel, they can understand it, they can be touched by it. You can see there is a life there. So Holy Spirit is the key to revive the church. And when the Holy Spirit flow into the church, filled by the Holy Spirit, you can see the true seeker. By accident or by guidance of God, we don't know. But however, true seeker keep on coming. Why? Because Holy Spirit is working. So if we feel our local church seems the evangelical work is dead, it's going nowhere, what can we do? There's one answer. Follow the pattern of the apostolic church to promote prayer until everybody filled by the Holy Spirit. That's prayer inside. Amen. Raised.